This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode number 146 of the Action Movie Guys Podcast. I'm your host, Nate. This is my co-host,
Alex Figueroa.
And this week, we are beginning our journey into the 80s, right? So we're going through all the decades. Alex, last month, we did the 70s. It was a trip, you know? We went down that river, the river of time. And we did a couple 70s movies. We had a good time. I think, in a nutshell, we discovered they had really good stories and not a lot of action in the 70s movies. That was the MO of the movies we did, as voted on by you guys, were really good stories, really good actors, and a bunch of not that much action. But still good movies. This month, we're hoping, fingers crossed, for a little bit more action because we're going into the 80s. And the 80s probably is where the action movie really started to boom, I would think, right?
Yeah.
Like, from 80s and 90s, then action movies become more mainstream and popular. So our first one up, a little John Carpenter movie called Escape from New York. Alex, I know you watched this one not too long ago, right? Because you got the 4K.
Yeah. So I got the 4K from Europe. It's a UK import. And that's the same one me and you were talking about. It's going to be the same transfer studio canal for the United States version. I saw that and I rewatched it again for this review on it. So
okay. Yeah, this was my first time ever watching this all the way through. So wow. I have seen it in bits and pieces. It's one of those movies like it would be like on at like a family member's house or like a friend's house, but I never like just sat down and watched it. So this was I'm gonna say it's a first time watch because the first time I sat down, watched it the whole way through. So I'm looking forward to talking about it. Now before we do, you guys already know the drill. We got to give you a little bit of the old Rotten Tomatoes score. Was this a well reviewed movie? And the answer is, it was. This has an 87% critic score on the old Rotten Tomatoes. Audiences are a little less, but still high, 77% audience score. So I think, you know, Carpenter, he's got a pretty good following. So I'm not that surprised by these scores. How about you?
Well, the 80s, you know, it's you know, with his Halloween, you know, around there. Christine. Was it Christine he did?
Christine, too?
Yeah, so he has a lot of hit movies. So I'm not very surprised that this one is up there with the critics in the audience.
Yeah. All right. So with that being said, we're going to chuck those numbers out the window. You know, they're important just to give you some perspective of as far as like how everybody considers this. But we want to tell you what we think about the movie. So I'm hosting, which means Alex gets to blaze the trail in each category. And I'm going to let you go first. Lead character, Snake Plissken, played by one Kurt Russell. Take it away.
Look, okay, so Kurt Russell plays, this is an iconic role for Kurt Russell. This is something that everyone will talk, if you say Kurt Russell, I think this one and Big Trouble Little China is the one that everyone brings up for Kurt Russell and Tango with Cash.
And the
it's
thing.
Like those three. And The Thing. Another John Carpenter movie.
Yeah.
So
three or four of those were John Carpenter.
Yeah, so pretty much this character, he's very action oriented, right? He's quiet. He's very, very, not menacing, but he's just mysterious. A quiet, mysterious, you don't mess with me. He's on the edge, trigger happy. He has a mission and he puts his mind to it. And that's pretty much it. So the character himself, he's good. He's fun. In terms of this character in this movie, now this is a sci-fi action movie. So this movie takes place in a future where Manhattan is pretty much a prison. And he has to go in there to get the president. So I'm not giving you the story. I'm giving you a slight storyline, but pretty much that's the premise. And they have to use Snake Plissken to go in and get the president. And he doesn't want to do it, but the only way to, so he doesn't stay there, he has to get the president out and the stupid cassette for the summit. To be honest with you, it's a great character for the 80s. Does the storyline for me work with this character? It's a little hit or miss with me in this one. Rewatching it for some reason, I like his mannerisms, to be really honest with you. I think it's really good. I think if you remake this movie with a new Snake Plissken, I think it will work very well. But for the 80s version, it's not much action in terms of him doing a lot of hand-to-hand stuff. You do get the fighting in the wrestling ring, but that's kind of pretty much it. And then him shooting his way through certain scenes here and there. But they don't give you much of Snake Plissken. It's a very mystery character. It's like, you know, we did this job and a long time ago. And then, Snake, I heard that you were dead. And, you know, he's like, I get that a lot. And it's like, okay, cool. I gave him a 4.5. In terms of the lore of Snake Plissken, the way Kurt Russell played him plays a factor, because I think if it's any Joe Schmo from the 80s play Snake Plissken, I don't think it would have got the respect that the movie is getting now. I think because of Kurt Russell in that in the boots worked very well. So I give it a 4.5.
Yeah, I mean, definitely an iconic role inspired. Yeah. I don't know if you guys ever played the video game Metal Gear Solid, but of course, Solid Snake, very much based off of Snake Plissken. The eye patch. It's not him, but it is inspired by Snake Plissken. So I'm a touch under you. I gave him a 4, but most of the same reasons. You know, he's mysterious, but almost like to a fault, where it's like, you can't really connect with him too much.
Yeah.
Right? Everything's at arm's length with him. There's no real heavy backstory. Like, you know, there'll be mentions. I know him and I used to know him and okay, what did he do? How did you know him? They don't really get too much into it. You know what this reminded me of? He's kind of like a Western character, right? Like the guy who shows up in town. Yeah. Shows up in town and does a job and then leaves. That's pretty much Snake Plissken. That being said, Kurt Russell does knock it out the park. I agree with you. It's hilarious at the beginning when he's meeting with Lee Van Cleef and he's like, call me Snake. The way he talks, call me Snake. Call me Snake. He's always kind of whispering, what'd you do to me? He shoots him with those things in the neck. What'd you put in me? Take it out.
Remember when you said you wanted to take the glider and turn around and go to Canada? We can't do that now, Plissken.
It's great. I do like Kurt Russell. He looks the part. He acts the part. But I give him a 4. I think he's cool. You know what else? I think he would work. I think Snake Plissken as a character would work. I couldn't help but, but this would work as like a TV series. You know, a post-apocalyptic. Yeah. You just do a longer storyline where they send him in there. I couldn't help but get vibes of like Walking Dead at certain parts, because you have these characters who are like
crazy,
the leader guy. Yeah. And imagine if they like explored that more. You know what I mean? I think it could work. I don't watch a lot of TV, but it seems like something that could be done.
You know what? We should write a pilot, me and you. that would be our break into Hollywood. We write
Escape from New York, the series.
The series. And it has this.
You got to make sure you put that.
80s music.
John Carpenter. We'll bring him in to do the music, executive produce, and we'll write it, and we'll get someone cool to shoot it. And then we'll be like, do the pilot. I don't know who will play Snake. We'll do Kurt fantasy Russell's casting. Kurt Russell himself.
An older version. Plissken's back.
Yeah, we could get Wyatt Russell come in and play Snake, Snake Plissken. Anyway, I gave him a 4, you gave him 4.5. All right, cool. Now, villain, but this is another one where we've been getting these movies a lot lately where they're like, there's villains. You know, there's like, everyone's bad. Well, he's in a prison. So I'll let you just go ahead and score however you want to do it.
All right. The villain here is pretty much every prisoner in the island of Manhattan. Now, I will say is that my man Isaac Hayes is the villain in this. Duke.
Yeah.
A number one. His name is Duke.
Two movies in a row with Isaac Hayes ties, by the way. Shaft and then this one.
Oh, that's true. So Duke is the main head guy in this movie, to be honest with you, because he does chase them on the bridge. He does go one-to-one with the president of the United States. Yeah. My favorite one, though, to be honest with you, is the dude that goes...
With the hair? It's so weird.
I don't know. He was just going... I was like, what the hell is wrong with that guy? No, but but honestly, there's a lot of, you know, and you're absolutely right. Whether it's a TV show, whether it's a movie, you have a lot of material here to work with where you could do like a Mad Max type of storyline with this, because you could do a lot of different streets have different crazy people, right? Like they had the crazies that came out of the floor when the guy was banging on the sewer. And he goes, hey, what is going on here? And she goes, that's the craziest. They won't do nothing. These are real cigarettes.
And all the people on Broadway who literally just stand on the road and throw crap at cars.
Yeah.
Do nothing else.
Then you can have a type of character like Brain, you know, all this stuff. But anyway, the villains actually worked very well for this type of movie. The prisoners, they have different style of prisoners here. Again, it worked. Then you have the villains where they're in the where Plissken has to fight his way out, and the Duke is watching him. So you have, you can see the amount of people there that are really crazy or whatever that were there. And I think it would work. Now, the Duke himself, like Isaac Hayes, he was good. He was really good. Doesn't go toe-to-toe with Snake Plissken, but he was very menacing. So with that, I scored him because technically he is the main villain. You don't get to see him much in the movie, but when he is there, you see his presence on why he is Duke A number one. Like my man... what's his name now that plays the president?
Donald Pleasance.
Donald Pleasance. Hey, number one. Remember when he's shooting him? Hey, Duke.
Oh, off the bridge.
Hey, Duke. Yeah, right. Hey, Duke. Hey, number one. Right? Shooting him up. Anyway. He shot him. I love that scene. That it's an awesome scene. I gave the Duke a 4. I think he's a very good villain. A great villain, actually. Not good. He's a great villain for this type of movie. Nate?
Yeah, he has a great... Isaac Hayes has a great presence in this movie. I agree. Yeah, I scored it a 4 because I... Yeah, he is the main one. But just the fact that everywhere he turns in this world that he's in is like bad. Like people who want to kill him or...
Yeah.
Take stuff from, steal from him, whatever. You know what I mean? Rape the women. What? Which, by the way, I don't understand why there's any women on this island, because I understand it's prison and it's the only maximum security prison. But some of these women just seem like regular women that they just dropped in there for them or something. It's kind of weird. Like, what did they do to get there? Yeah. Like, yeah. Well, this is kind of bizarre. But anyway, also, where do they get their food? Do they
airdrop food?
They just eat each other?
Yeah, because, man, that was the whole point of the crazies. They were searching for humans at night.
Yeah. I mean, I figured some did, but I didn't think everyone did. Like,
the Duke, they're all, like, he has a meals.
That's what I'm saying. Where do they get him? I get, maybe they airdrop him in. They didn't explain it all, but that's okay. Yeah. Okay, that's neither here nor there. Villains 4. I think that freaking guy with the hair cracked me up. What is that guy? Why is he like this? I don't understand. He's so weird. He's so weird. Every time he comes on screen, I laughed. I love that guy. Yeah, Isaac Hayes is great. Duke is great. Yeah, I give it a 4. I mean, I think you said it best, and I just like, I do like that he has to fight his way through hordes of people, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's always fun. It does have Mad Max vibes, except instead of a desert, it's in a city. Also, what's very funny is that he had 22 hours to get the president out, but it was nighttime the whole time. It was night. There's no sun. They're never in the daytime. They're never in the sunlight. Like, it's always nighttime in this prison of Manhattan. But whatever. Yeah, it was good. Okay, so 4. Action.
All right, action sequence. There's not much action in this movie. Honestly, there is not at all. You got the glider in the beginning, him going to the World Trade Center. Once he lands, he goes to the Air Force One. He's not there. Then he goes, finds the beacon. The beacon is another dude. Then he punches his way through there. He meets a girl in the restaurant. He has to run from the crazies. That's pretty much an action sequence there. He meets Brain, gets in the car. That's another chase. And then he meets the Duke. Honestly, the only action sequence you get here is pretty much when he fights the wrestling guy in the ring. And then when he gets into the car chase scene on the bridge. So honestly, there is really not much action. And I can't even, it's really hard for me to say if this is really an action movie, because we don't get much action. I gave it a 2. I know it's going to sound like people are going to like go nuts on me. But honestly, if you really look at it, the fight in the wrestling ring, which is not really a fight. He just hit him with a bat, right? Yeah. He's going, right? And, you know, Brain took the president, and it was run out. And then, of course, the car chase scene, which was actually really good. But other than that, it's pretty much, I gave it a 2.
You also had at the beginning when the helicopter drops that bomb in the water, blows those guys off the raft.
Oh, yeah.
And then you see the bodies go flying. You're right. There's not a ton, but I mean, there's some car chasing. There's some foot chasing. There's a couple of hand-to-hand moments. A couple, not a lot. And they're short. And there's some gunplay. And there's some... I gave it a 3. I'm not much higher than you. I agree. And also, John Carpenter, like, he's not what I think of when I ever think of, like, action movies. Mm. Okay? Like, I know he's done a few that have action, like Assault on Precinct 13. You know, can be considered...
Vampires?
Vampires, or like Ghost of Mars is kind of an action movie, but his style, his strengths are not action, if that makes sense. Like shooting action. He's good with characters. He's good with suspense. He's, you know what I mean? And, but I wouldn't say action is his strong suit. So I gave it a 3. That's probably the highest I'll give any John Carpenter movie as far as action. But it was okay. There was enough, I guess. The movie's only an hour and 38 minutes or something like that. So it was short. There's not a lot. You're right. It's pretty well done for what it is. I gave it a 3. Okay, storyline.
All right. It's a strength is the storyline. I think this is, again, another decade that gave us a unique storyline that's original. It's the president gets kidnapped by the nurse from Halloween.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Well, that's the nurse from Halloween. Hijacks
he always works
Air
with
Force
the same
one.
People.
Yeah. Yeah, and she crashes it into an island that's a prison. And it's not as complex as it is. And they hired the hero. The hero goes in, got to get him by a certain time, bring him out. And that's it. Got to remove the bomb from his neck. It's the most simplest storyline, but yet effective. And it's such a great premise. And I still think, and I agree with you, whether it's a TV show or a remake of a movie, I hope we get to see a remake of this. And it's rare because I'm not a big remake guy. I hate remakes. But I think with Escape from New York, it's warranted. Because I think the technology that we have now limited John Carpenter in the 80s. If you understand what I mean, I think he could have did so much more with the technology we have now with Escape from New York. Now, granted, we don't got the World Trade Centers, but I mean, it'll be a cool homage to have it again in the movie, you know, just to pay respects for the building. But then again, we live in a society that people are so muffins that they don't even have a problem with that. So again, I don't mind if they do bring back the World Trade Center for that movie and they do it again. But anyway, I think the storyline is well done. It's very good. The entire cast fit these characters very well. So I gave it a 4 out of 5. I think it's a great story.
Yeah, it's funny because this movie starts off. So the movie was made in 1981. And then it says in 1988, the crime went like 400% higher. And then it's set in 1997. So watching it now, it's 25 years ago, but really it's like 41 years ago that the movie was made. So it's always funny to see like what they thought the future was going to be like in these 80s movies. And it's nothing like 1997 at all. I mean, obviously all the cars are still old. And then like all their little beeps and boops with their little like radar scanners. It just looks like a 1980s little like contraption, you know? But I love that kind of stuff. So I think it's funny. I think the storyline's very good. I think it is. Yeah, there's a lot you can do with it. You know what I mean? The characters are interesting. They have weird names. I love movies with characters with like really unique names, you know, like the Brain and the Duke and Snake and, you know,
Maggie.
Yeah, everyone doesn't have to be named George, Bob, and Will. You know what I mean? So it was good. I like the storyline a lot. It's a good sci-fi premise. It's a good action movie premise, you know, depending on which way you want to go. I dug it. I have the same exact score as you. I gave it a 4 as well. Okay, overall.
Overall, I think in the entire package, I think this is a phenomenal movie. I think it's a great movie. Does it still hold up? Depending on where you're looking at it, whether if you're going to think it's like the best thing when you saw it the first time, maybe not. But for me, I think it holds up for me. Not many people will sit down and think this movie will still hold up. Unless you're a fan of these type of movies, then I could see you going, yeah, this is a cool movie. But I can't see, like, if you flip the coin, I could see a lot of people not enjoying this movie because they'll say it's slow, there's no action, you know, there's nothing outstanding, you know, out there. But for me, it's great. Now, in terms of the 4K, I'm going to be 100% honest with you, it's not as great as another transfer. So I'm going to let you guys know right now, I have the UK. Me and Nate talked about it. It's the same transfer. It's not as good. I'm going to be honest with you. I think it needed to be helped a bit. But again, everyone has a different TVs and all that. So, you know, take it with a grain of salt. And with that said, I gave it a 4. I think the movie still holds up. I think Kurt Russell is still great in this movie. I love the storyline. I think Donald Pleasence as the president is like really cool. And Isaac Hayes is what made the villain. I think, and every time he got on screen, it was like, boom, 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 bow. It had that funky music in the background. So I thought it worked very well. So I gave it a 4.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was good. It's a little weird, you know, for me. I didn't like, there's just a lot of weirdness to it. And it might work for some, like Ernest Borgnine was really weird in this. Like, was he, why is he like this? The guy with the hair, why is he like this? You know, has a great cast though. I mean, most John Carpenter movies, you know, he does work with like a lot of similar people, but you have Kurt Russell in this, Adrian Barbeau, Harry Dean Stanton, Isaac Hayes, Donald Pleasance, Lee Van Cleef, Tom Atkins, Ernest Borgnine. Like the cast, you could just name, like you see actors and you know their names. They're you know, they're legit. So a great cast. You could kind of tell it another one of the, one thing about Carpenter movies is they always have this, I don't want to say cheapness to them, but they definitely look like smaller budget movies. You know what I mean? He's very creative. He's very talented. So he works kind of around it. But you could tell this is not like some big budget, you know, studio movie where it was like, I didn't look it up, but I'm sure it's not huge. But there's always this quirkiness to his movies too, that sometimes I like it, like Big Trouble in Little China. I think it works. Here, I could have done without it. You know what I mean? It's a little goofy. On the whole, I enjoyed it. I gave it a 3.5. I think it's good. I know you said the 4K is not great. I'm probably going to get it. I liked it. I would like to rewatch it in like a couple of months. But upon like first full viewing, it was good. I thought it was really good. 7 out of 10. But yeah, so 3.5 for me. So what's your total points?
My total points is, if I'm reading it right, is a 18.5. Well, the cool thing is that the narrator in the beginning is Jamie Lee Curtis. She's the narrator.
I didn't know that.
Voice. Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
There you go. Jamie Lee Curtis. I didn't know that, but now there you go. I have an 18.5 as well. We have the same exact score. We have the same exact total score. Yeah. 18.5. Yeah. A good solid start to the 80s, but I'm hoping for more. Now I do think next week we're going to be reviewing, of course, continuing with the Bourne movies. We got the Bourne Ultimatum. Looking forward to it, but I'm looking forward to our 80s movie for next week because I watched this, I want to say 4 years ago. And the 4 years ago that I watched it was my first time watching it. I'm pretty sure I loved it. It's a little movie starring Patrick Swayze called Roadhouse. And we're going to be checking out Roadhouse. So I'm looking forward to rewatching it because I remember some real crazy stuff happening in that movie. And I know Sam Elliott's in it and I love that guy. He just looks like whiskey to me. Like if whiskey was a man, Sam Elliott. So next week, Bourne Ultimatum, Roadhouse. So keep an eye out for those.
Yeah, it's funny. I never seen Roadhouse. First
really?
Sandwich. Yeah, first
time. Oh, sandwich. Shoot. Yeah. Now I'm even more excited. Wait till you see. I always thought it was a chick flick because of the poster. Yeah. It's like Patrick Swayze with the jeans. Bro, I promise you, it's not a chick flick. Wait till you see. I think you're going to love it, possibly. Okay. We'll see. I don't want to hype it up, but there's a good chance.
All right. There you have it, guys. If you want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at NateFlixReviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called NateFlix Movie Reviews. Anything action movie, guys, you can head over to youtube.com/UltraHDGeeks for the video version of the podcast. If you guys want to follow us on our audio version of the podcast, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and TuneIn Radio. Search for Action Movie Guys there and then auto download, leave some ratings. Other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and that is
Nate from NateFlix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.